Okay, good morning, everybody. Gutvach, Shavua Tov. Parshas Toldos is a parsha that we could spend weeks and years learning. It's an enormous amount of important ideas, yesodos, and themes to bring out. I would like to take a look at really the totality of Parshas Toldos, but specifically to focus on Yaakov and Esav, and in light of that, understanding the decision of Yitzchak versus Rivka in terms of giving the brachos to Yaakov as opposed to that of Esav. Try to understand the difference between Yitzchak and Rivka in their approach as to who to give the brachos to. Try to figure out where Yaakov fell in this regard, and to really develop a very, very important approach to understanding this parsha based upon the Gdolei Rishonim. In terms of the opening of the parsha, Parshas Toldos, so what we see here is something different than we have seen thus far in Sefer Bereishis, and that is a real depiction of Yaakov and Esav, their personalities, who they were, what they were about. We don't really know that about Yitzchak and Yishmael, besides the fact that we know that Yitzchak is the chosen child, that he will be the ultimate progeny of Avram, and he will be the one to continue the Birchas Avram. However, really don't know much about the personality of Yitzchak. Of course, Parshas Toldos is the parsha that's dedicated to the life of Yitzchak, as opposed to Avram, who has Lech Lecha, Vayeir, and Chayasara, and Yaakov, who has Toldos, Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. Yitzchak we know very, very little about. Avram, we know about his yisyonos, we know about his challenges, we know about the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the tremendous tribulations and trials that he went through, but we don't know about the life of Avram until he is 75 years old. That's when we are introduced to him in Sefer Bereishis. However, Yaakov and Esav are different, and the Torah depicts very carefully the personalities, who they were, what they were about, what they were interested in, so much so that the Torah used the words vayigdulu hane'arim, that the children grew up. We don't know much about the childhood of Avram and Yitzchak. We don't know much about the childhood of Yishmael. And we certainly don't know much about the childhood of Noach and Adam. But here in Parshas Toldos, for the first time, we really get a very clear picture of who these two youngsters are. So much so we know about them ready embryonically. Vayisrotzitzu abanim bekirba, the Pasuk tells us, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Perek Chavhei, Pasuk Chavbez, they were ready kicking and screaming. And we know who was kicking and screaming when. Yaakov was excited, started kicking, as Chazal say, Rashi quotes it, when Rivka was near the Beis Medrash, the Beis HaKnesses, as opposed to Esav, who started kicking and screaming and getting excited when he crossed the base of Avodah Zarah. So we already get a sense of who these youngsters were, so much so that Rivka herself says, Im kein lama zanochi vatelech lidros rosh Hashem. She's trying to figure out what is going on here. Why is there such intensity already embryonically, pre-birth? There is such a strong sense of some sort of friction, a tension, a tugging of two ends of a tight rope, that she's confused and doesn't understand what's taking place. Why is this pregnancy so imbalanced? Why is this pregnancy so intense? And what is the kicking of the Beis Medrash on the one hand and the kicking outside of the Beis Avodah Zarah on the other hand? Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to her prophecy and to her nevuah and to her request and says, Shnei goyim bevitnech. You know what's happening in your womb? There is no confusion. There is no inconsistency. Rather, there are twins who represent two regimes who will be separated, and the greater, the older, will celebrate and will be forced to serve the younger. The elder, of course, is going to be Esav. The younger is going to be Yaakov. And already at this point, we have a very clear picture of two people, almost nemesis, two individuals who are going to have a very difficult relationship. Already in the beten, already in the embryo, there's this sense of a battle, of war. When one is up, the other is down. When one is down, the other is up. And therefore, we already see something very fascinating developing. Pre-birth, embryonically, this very powerful, passionate, strong, intense divide, division, and dichotomy between these two brothers. Ultimately, the Torah tells us, "Vayimlu yamel aledes v'nisomim bibitna." Indeed, there are twins that are born, the eldest being Esav, the youngest being Yaakov, as the Torah tells us, Perek Chaf Hey, Pasuk Chav Hey, Vayetzi Harishon Admoni Kulo Kaderes Seyar V'yikrushmo Esav. Esav came out complete, hairy. Thus, his name is Esav Milashon Asui Asa. He's complete. He's finished. He's completely established. V'achrechen yatsa achiv yado ochezes ba'akev esav v'yikrashmo Yaakov. And we see already that Yaakov is grabbing his brother. There's already this sense that there's going to be a battle. They're fighting, they're tugging, they're pushing, they're holding. Their tension exists. And Yaakov emerges, Yaakov milashon akev, from the heel. And Yaakov is going to have to try to emerge. He's going to try to come bigger, try to become stronger. Because Esav is also, Esav is complete, Esav is finished. Esav is a strong individual. Yaakov is going to have to chase, is going to have to run after him. And everything that we have just described embryonically and upon birth ultimately continues as they get older. Vayigdulu hanarim, the Torah tells us again, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chav Zayin. They get older. This is the age of Bar Mitzvah. They become 13 years old. Vayi Esav ish yodea tzayid ish sadeh. V'yakov ish tam yoshev olim. So the personalities, the traits that we see beginning to develop externally, that we have familiar with already internally, embryonically begin to emerge. Esav is the ish yodea tzayid ish sadeh. He's the hunter, he's the gatherer, he's the warrior, he's the physical brother. V'yakov ish tam yoshev olim. Yaakov is the individual who is focused, who's pensive, who's thoughtful, who's communicative with God. He's sitting in his tent, contemplating, thinking, learning Torah. Emes Liyakov, these two brothers couldn't be any different, twins, one from the next. They look different, they act different, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Two brothers, two attitudes, two different focuses, two different dreams, coming from the same place, yet headed in two different directions. And then the Torah tells us, what did their parents think of them? What did Yitzchak and Rivka think of these two youngsters? V'yahav Yitzchak es Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv, v'rivka oheves es Yaakov. So not only are these two brothers different, and not only do we see very, very clear distinction between them, as we said, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, but their parents take to each of them differently. Yitzchak is enamored by Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv, the hunter, gatherer, the individual who's full and focused on the physical world and olam hazeh. However, Rivka oheves is Yaakov. Rivka is taken by Yaakov. Rivka is taken by his thoughtfulness. Rivka is taken by his spirituality. And Rivka is taken by his nature, focusing on the future. However, famously, the Torah continues the element, the episode of the sale of the Bechorah, which I'm not going to focus on this morning, but rather I'm going to skip ahead to Perek Chafches, chapter 28, which arguably may be one of the most fascinating, confusing, important, and pivotal chapters in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Perek Chav Zayin of Sefer Bereishis. So we skip ahead, and we know who these two youngsters are at the age of 13. But let's fast forward till the age of 40. Here he is. The Torah tells us, if you have the art scroll stone, Chumash, page 132. If not, it's in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Dalin Lamed Hey, the last two verses, the last two psukim, and Pasuk Chavav, we skip ahead from age 13 to age 40. Vayhi Esav ben Arbaim Shana, Esav is 40. Vayikach Isha es Yehudis bas Be'eri Hachiti, ves Bosmas bas Ilon Hachiti. Esav intermarries. He marries these two women who have no connection to who we are and to who his parents are, Yitzchak and Rivka. He marries these Chittite women, not the women who one would imagine that his parents would be proud of him marrying, not the way Yitzchak and Yaakov ultimately would marry. But Esav completely leaves the fold and takes a different direction. And of course, at this point, the sale of the Bechorah has been finished and completed, the transaction. Yaakov is considered to be the Bechor. He has the birthright. And their two personalities continue to really, really be writ large in the Torah. Yaakov the Ish Tam Yoshev Olem. Esav the Ish Tzayid Ish Sada, the hunter, the gatherer, the warrior, the physical brother, marrying the Chittite women. Yaakov is this individual who's pensive and who's thoughtful, who sits and learns and studies and communicates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are these two men, these are the two brothers, and at this age, the age of 40, we see not only do their personalities, which began embryonically, emerge as children and as adolescents and as young adults, but here as young men, we see the same thing to be true. And Perek Chav Zayin, we are introduced to Yitzchak preparing for his death. Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak. Yitzchak becomes old. Vatikahena einav miros, and he's no longer able to see, he's blind. Vayikra es Esav b'no hagadol vayomer elav b'ni vayomer elav hineni. Yitzchak calls his son Esav, as we saw earlier. Yitzchak had an affinity to Esav. He was taken by Esav. Kitzayed b'fiv. He loved him and he liked him. And what does he tell him? Go out to the field. Sana kelyecha telyecha v'kashtecha. Get your bow and arrow. Get your swords. Get your rifle. Prepare to go out to the field. V'tzei hasada v'tzuda litzayed. Prepare for me a delicious meal. V'asei li matamim. And make for me a delicious, delicious, fresh piece of meat. Ka'asher ahavti, as I love. V'heviali v'ochela, and I will eat it. Bavur tivarechecha nafshi b'ter mamus, in order that I could bless you before I die. Now, Yitzchak clearly, because of his affinity to Esav, takes a liking to Esav, although he's just married two Chittite women, although he's involved in Avodah Zarah, although he's the physical brother. And this is the one that Yitzchak wishes to bless. But as Rivka, of course, overhears what's taking place, Shomas bedaber Yitzchak el Esav beno, she hears her husband telling her son Esav, go to the field so I could bless you. Vayelech Esav asada l'tzutzai l'havir, v'Rivka amra el Yaakov beno le'mor, hine shamati esavicha medaber l'Esav achicha le'mor, I hear what your father is going to do, he's going to bless your older brother Esav, go quickly to the field and take care of dad. Prepare for him a delicious meal. I'll dress you. And we'll put everything together to make sure that you look, act, sound, feel like Esav in order that you could be the recipients of the bracha. Let's pause for a moment and try to understand what is going on in Beis Yaakov. What's happening? Why is it that Yitzchak wishes, desires, and understands that the blessing that he has should go to Esav? He's the ish tzayid, he's the ish tzada. He's the hunter, the gatherer, the warrior, the physical brother. The brother of Olam Hazeh. It doesn't seem to be the pattern of Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Esav. It wouldn't seem to be that the blessing that we're so familiar with should continue from Avram to Yitzchak to Esav. How is it? Why is it? What does Yitzchak see in Esav that he should be the recipients of the bracha? Why is it that Yitzchak is so focused on Esav? Why is it that Yitzchak loves Esav? And why is it most importantly that he wishes to bless him and to give him the brachos? What's the story with Yitzchak? And on the other hand, we need to understand Rivka. Why is it that Rivka has an affinity to Yaakov, and why is it that she feels so strongly, as opposed to her husband, that it's going to dafka be Yaakov who should be the recipients of the bracha? Of course, we understand Yaakov to be the ish tam yoshev ohalim. But why does she not get along and understand and appreciate what it is that her husband sees in Esav? Why don't they discuss? And why don't they come up with a plan in terms of how to better raise their children and to set them up appropriately and to establish? And why doesn't Rivka ask the question to her husband, Yitzchak, and say, what do you see in Esav? Why is he going to be the recipient of the bracha? How do we understand Yitzchak? How do we understand Rivka? And third of all, how do we understand Yaakov? Where does Yaakov fall in the pattern? And why does Yaakov go along with his mother's plan? And why is Yaakov not interested in being the recipients of the brachos? What is it that Yaakov decides to side with his mother, when Yaakov fully understands and appreciates and recognizes that his brother is to be the recipients of the bracha? Why does Yaakov just tell his mother, listen, mommy, Rivka, my dear mother, I see that my father Yitzchak wants to give the blessings to Esav. And Yaakov never fights, never pushes, and never ever whatsoever tells his mother, just leave it be, let my father give these brachos, even though we understand clearly that Yaakov is recipient of understanding, that certainly positively he is supposed to be the one who will not receive the brachos. So what is it about Yitzchak? What is it about Rivka? And what is it about Yaakov? How do we understand these three individuals, these holy people? How do we understand Yitzchak? How do we understand Rivka? How do we understand Yaakov? These questions are critical. And these questions are very, very important to try to get to the core, to the guts of Parshas Toldos, and really, externally and internally, to understand all of Sefer Bereishis as a totality, and to understand how it is that Avram will be the continuity and continue the brachas to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, what exactly is happening. I like to, first of all, share with you the approach of the Sforno. Rav Avadya Sforno is one of the great, great Rishonim, whose approach and whose pshatim in Chumash are critically important to understand, so much so that Rav Shlomo Volbi, in his written writings on the Parshas HaShavua, writes that the Sforno's explanation of Parshas Toldos is the key, he writes, is the mafteach lahavonas ha-parsha. If thus we read and we understand, the Sforno will understand the key to unlocking and understanding Parshas Toldos. But it's not just the Sforno. If you take a look in the classic works of the Beis Halevi and the Netziv, the Malbim and the Chassam Sofer, they all take the following approach in trying to understand Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rivka. But in order to appreciate and understand, let's take a look at the actual brachos that were received. Of course, the bracha that you can find, and you'll take a look in the Chumash, in the stone Chumash, it's found on page 138. On the top of the page, it's on Perek Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. The Torah tells us that after the disguise of Yaakov and following his mother's plan, Rivka, to dress up and to act like Esav, Yaakov returns from the field, prepares for his father a delicious meal. And the Torah tells us, Vayigash, Vayishaklo, Vayorech Esreach Begadav Vevarecheu. The ploy, the plan, the ruse, the trick that Rivka and Yaakov put into play works because Yitzchak feels Yaakov. He kisses him and he smells him. And he blesses him. And he notes, Re'ei, Re'each b'ni k're'ach sadeh, asher birchu Hashem, I see. The fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of the field, and therefore Yitzchak is prepared to bless who he thinks is Esav. What's the bracha? Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches. What is this sought-after bracha? What is it that Rivka and Yaakov understand that this needs to be within their hands? The Torah tells us the bracha that Yitzchak gives Yaakov. Vayitin lecha Elokim mital hashamayim u'mishmoneh haaretz verov dagon vasirosh. God should give dew of the heavens, fatness of the earth, grain and wine in abundance of grain and wine. This bracha, of course, is a bracha full of olam hazeh. It's a bracha that's full of gashmias, rov dagon vasirosh. It's all about grain and wine. Tal hashamayim mishman ha'aretz, fat of the land, dew of heaven. This is all olam hazeh. Why is this the bracha that Rivka feels and understands and receives the prophecy that's the rightful ownership of Yaakov? Yaakov, we understand, is the spiritual bracha. His spiritual brother. Yaakov is the ish tam yoshev olim. Esav is the brother of physicality. Why then does Rivka understand that this bracha should belong to Yaakov? And if you continue and you read the next pasuk chavtes, the bracha of Olam Hazeh continues. Ya'avducha amim v'yishtachavu lecha le'umim. Heveigvir le'achicha v'yishtachavu lecha b'nei mecha. Orerecha orurim v'orecha chabarach. The Torah tells us that people will serve you. Regimes, nations will prostrate in front of you. Your mother will prostrate in front of you. Everybody will prostrate in front of you. Why does Yaakov need that? Why is Rav Rivka pushing Yaakov, the spiritual brother, the Ishtam, the Yoshev Ohalim, the brother who's so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be the recipients of Olam Hazeh? And why is it that Yaakov needs to go along with this plan of his mother? So if you take a look at the Sforno and this Pasuk, and again the Beis HaLevi, the Netziv, the Malbim, the Chassam Sofer, they all explain the following. This bracha is a bracha of Olam Hazeh. And Yitzchak's intention was to give this bracha to none other than Esav. And we questioned and we wondered and we queried, why? What did Yitzchak see in Esav to give him this bracha? Now the answer is clear and simple. It's a bracha of Olam Hazeh. And Yitzchak understood that Olam Hazeh was suited for who? For Esav and Esav alone. He was the Ish Tzayid, he was the Ish Sadeh. He was the hunter or the gatherer. He was the warrior. He was the physical brother. Therefore, Yitzchak calls his son Esav and tells him, go to the field, do what you know to do best. Prepare for me a meal. Establish yourself as the physical brother. And if you're successful, I will give you the bracha of physicality of Olam Hazeh. Mital Hashamayim Mishmoneh Haaretz V'Rav Dagon V'Sirosh. I'm going to give you abundance of grain and wine. I'm going to give you dew of the heaven and the fat of the ground. And thus Yitzchak understands his two sons very, very well. He understands that Esav is the physical brother. He understands that Yaakov is the spiritual brother. And for that reason, he calls his son Esav and he wants to give him the bracha of all brachos. As he passes away, as he gets older and he ages, Vatikahena Einav Miros, he can no longer see. He tells his son, Sana Kelyachavet Talyachavet Kashtecha, Lo Yadati Yomosi, I want to give you this bracha because it's a bracha of Olam Ha. Thus now Yitzchak, we can understand, says the Beis Halevi, says the Sforno, it's because he is the physical brother, and thus the bracha is intended from Yitzchak to Esav Dafka, so he could be the recipient of Olam Hazeh. But Rivka is not satisfied with that. Rivka knows her son Esav all too well. And she recognizes that it's not appropriate, it's not proper for Esav to be the recipient of the brachos of Olam Hazeh. Because if he's going to be the recipient of these brachos, that means Yaakov has to always be at the tail. He's going to be the Ekev. He's going to be the Yaakov. He's going to have to rely on Esav to be the one to supply him with Olam Hazeh. And Rivka doesn't trust that Esav is going to be able to fulfill this role. He doesn't trust that he's going to be able to accomplish this goal. And therefore Rivka says, no, 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 Yaakov. It can't work. It's not going to work. There needs to be you going to get all of the brachas. You need to run after your father. You need to dress up and I have to dress you to get this physical bracha. Because it's not feasible, it's not possible. Yitzchak and Rivka have two different attitudes. Yitzchak's approach is the perfect approach. It's the approach of Olam Haba. And that's who Yitzchak was, as the Ola Tamima. He was on the Mizbeach. He never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak sees the world from a state of perfection. Everything is clear. It could work together. Yaakov and Esav can be brothers and comrades. They could work together in unison. There's going to be a perfect harmony between these two brothers. Yitzchak sees his son Esav as the brother of Olam Hazeh. He sees his other son Yaakov as the one to be the recipient of the brach of spirituality. And they could work together no different than Yisachar and Zvulun. They're going to be two brothers who are able to work together in beautiful, beautiful harmony. And are going to be able to settle the world and the land. Esav will take care of Yaakov. Yaakov will take care of Esav. Each of them have their part, their role. Each of them are going to have their place in this world. And they work together perfectly, with harmony, with justice, with camaraderie, and with brotherhood. And thus Yitzchak says, that's why you, Esav, are going to be the recipient of this bracha of Olam Hazeh. Rivka says, no, no, it's not going to work like that. That's too perfect, my dear husband. You see things in the perfect world. You see things in the world of Olam Haba. You're the Ola Tamima. You never left Eretz Yisrael. You were placed on the Mizbeach. You see things differently. Vatikaina Eretz Miros. You don't even see. You're blind. You have to understand that this is the physical world. This is the world of Olam Hazeh. You can't allow Esav even to have Olam Hazeh, because if you do, there's going to be discord and there's going to be disservice, and they're not going to be able to work together. I need, says Rivka, that Yaakov is going to have both shulchanos, both tables, the table of Olam Hazeh, full of bounty and success. And I need him also to be the brother who is going to be the spiritual brother. He needs to have both things. And therefore, Yitzchak and Rivka, two very different attitudes in her in terms of how to educate, how to bless, and how their two children are going to succeed. While Yitzchak saw that Yaakov and Esav could work together, Rivka understood practically it's not feasible and it's not possible. And it's for this reason that Yaakov is very quiet in the entire Parshas Toldos. He sees his father has one attitude. He sees his mother has a different attitude. He understands his father, actually. And it's for that reason that he never pushes to go for the brachos. He never pushes his mother, and he never fights with his mother. And he just goes along with her because he really understands at the end of the day that his father Yitzchak is right. He on his own doesn't independently go after the brachos. Only once his mother tells him, then he follows his mother. Because Yaakov really knows that Yitzchak is right. The brachos are entitled to Esav. He's going to be the physical brother. Maybe we'll be able to work together. Yaakov understands his father. It says, it's possible, it's feasible. But he knows that his mother Rivka is the recipient of Ruach HaKodesh. She received a special, special word of God, and she understands, L'ol mimlom yamatz ve'ravi avot zayir. The older is going to serve the younger. And therefore, Yaakov ultimately passively follows his mother's advice and goes along with his mother because his mother ultimately and eternally is correct. It can't be that Esav is going to be the recipient of Olam Hazeh. It has to be that Yaakov needs to receive both brachos. This is the approach of the Sforno. This is the approach of the Beis Halevi, the approach of the Netziv, the approach of both the Chasam Sofer and the Malbim, and they prove it and take it one step further. If you take a look at the beginning of Perek Chaf Ches, chapter 28, you see that after everything becomes revealed, page 142 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, when Yitzchak understands and knows exactly what occurred and exactly what happened and what Rivka and Yaakov were up to, the Torah tells us, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov, Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 28, verse 1, Vayivarechoso, Yitzchak now calls Yaakov for a bracha, not knowing, of course, thinking that it's somebody else. He knows exactly who he is. Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov, I know who you are, Yaakov. I'm calling you for a bracha. And what bracha does he give him? First and foremost, let's be practical. Don't marry a Canaanite woman. Just like my father Avram told me not to do so, you don't do so either. Kumlach Paden Aram, go to Paden Aram, Besa Besul Avi Mecha, Vekach Chamisham Isham Mirmel Slavan Achim Mecha. Just like my father sent me to the house of Lavan to marry from there, from our family, you too should do that. And here comes the bracha. Ve'el Shada Yivarech Oscha V'yifricha V'yirbecha V'yisrael Kalamim. Vayitin Lachas Birchas Avraham. Mecha. Ulazarecha itach, lirishtachas eretz mugurecha shenasan elokim l'avra. What's this bracha that Yitzchak gives Yaakov? It's the bracha of ruchnias. It's the bracha of spirituality. Yitzchak tells Yaakov, you know what you're the recipient of? The recipient of birchas Avraham. When I intended to give the bracha to Esav, which you happen to have received, it wasn't the Birchas Avram. It wasn't the bracha of spirituality. I never gave Esav Eretz Yisrael. That never was the intention. I gave him Rov Dagon V'Yitzhar. That was the intention for Esav. I wanted to give him physicality. I wanted to give him Olam Hazeh. I reserved Olam Haba. I reserved spirituality. I reserved Eretz Yisrael for you. And that says the Beis Halevi and the Sforno, the Chasam Sofer, the Netziv, is exactly the intention of this bracha in Perek Chaf Ches, chapter 28. The bracha that Yaakov receives, was always intended to receive, is the bracha of El Shaka, Yivarech Oscha, V'yifrecha, V'yirbecha, V'yisrael Kalamim. You, my dear Yaakov, you, my dear son, you'll receive Eretz Yisrael. You'll receive the inheritance. You will be the brother who ultimately will be Elokei Avraham. Elokei Yitzchak ve'Elokei Yaakov. I never was misguided. I always understood what I was doing, Yitzchak says to Yaakov. And when I intended to bless and to give the bracha to Esav at the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, as I was aging and I was blind, I intended to give that bracha to Esav. And this is the bracha that I always was saving for you, my dear Yaakov. You are the bracha. And you are the son, you are the Ishtam, the Yoshev Ohalim. You are the brother, you are the son of Ruchnias, you are the continuity, the progeny. You're the grandson of Avram, the son of Yitzhak. You will be the inheritor of Eretz Yisrael. You are going to be the ultimate son who's going to build Shifteka, the Mita Shlema, from Ruvain all the way to Yehuda, Yehuda to Zvulun, from Zvulun to Dan, from Dan all the way to Yosef and Binyamin. You, Yaakov, are the prize child. You, Yaakov, are the one who is ultimately going to continue the legacy of Avram. And the bracha that I gave to Esav, Ayitin lecha Elokim mitala shamayim mishmani arts, that was simply a bracha of Olam Hazeh. Now, of course, although Yitzchak had this plan that one bracha will go to Esav and one bracha will go to Yaakov, ultimately we all know that's not what happened. Rivka and her plan succeeded. Yaakov not only received the bracha of Olam Haba, the bracha of Ruchnias, but Yaakov also received the bracha of Olam Hazeh, because Rivka understood that it all had to be in his hands. And if you take a look at the Beis HaLevi explains one step further. If you look back on page 140 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, you see that when Esav heard what occurred, when Esav understood what happened, he vayitzak tza'aka gedola, he screamed, a mighty scream, so loud. Vayomel aviv barcheni gamani aviv, he says to his father, bless me, Tati. Bless me, Abba, my dear father. What happened? I was supposed to be the recipients of this bracha. How could I not receive the bracha? And the Torah tells us, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayomer Ba'achicha B'mirma V'yikach B'yachaska, your brother came B'mirma. Rashi, quoting the Targum, famously translated B'chachma. There was something very smart that your brother did, Yaakov did, and that your mother, my wife Rivka, did. She had the plan that you would receive the bracha of Olam Hazeh. Yaakov got it, you Esav are not going to get it. And what does Yaakov continue? Yitzchak continues and says, "Vayomer hachi karashmo Yaakov, vayakveini zepamai, my brother. Yaakov has now fooled me twice. What did he do? Es bichorasi lokach viniata lokach birchasi. He receives the bichora and he receives the bracha. Yaakov has it all. And Esav says to his father, page 140, the top, Perek Chavav, Pasuk, Lamirvav, Vayomer halo atzalta li bracha, do you have not anything left for me? Says Esav to Yitzchak, you have nothing left for me? Yaakov got everything, he gets the bechorah, he gets the bracha, you have nothing left for me, Abba, Tati, why don't I receive any bracha? Vayan Yitzchak, Pasuk, Lamed Zayin, Vayomer le'esav, hein gvir samtiv lach, ves kol echav nasati lo avadim, vidagon vitirosh simachtiv, v'lacha efo ma'ase b'ni, says Yitzchak to Yaakov, I do have something for you. You're going to be strong. I'm going to make him over you. All of his kin I have given you as servants. You're going to receive something. But what is it that I'm going to receive? And then the Torah tells us in Pasuk Lamites, Vayan Yitzchak Aviv Vayomer Elav, Hinei Mishmanei Haaretz Yemei Oshavecha Umeital Hashamayim Me'al. Doesn't that Pasuk and doesn't that bracha seem familiar? That's exactly the words that Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov. What did Yitzchak tell? And what was the bracha that he bestowed upon Yaakov, intending to give it to Esav? Vayite lachai Elokim mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz. And what does the Torah tell us here in Pasuk Lamites? Mishmanei haaretz yemoshevecha mital hashamayim me'al. So Esav also receives dew of heaven. And Esav also receives the fat and the bounty of the land. What's the difference? They're flipped. What does Esav receive first? Mishmanei haaretz yemoshevecha umeital hashamayim me'al. He first receives the dew, first he receives the fat of the land, and then the dew of heaven. A hint, a remez, that you, Esav, are a brother, and you are a son who's going to be the physical brother. You're going to receive mishmanei haaretz. You're going to receive the land first, and only then you'll receive dew of heavens. Yaakov gets just the opposite. Mital hashamayim u'mishmanei haaretz. Yaakov is going to receive the dew of heaven, and only then does he receive the fat of the land, because Yaakov is the ish tam, the yoshev olim. He's the spiritual brother, therefore he connects immediately with shamayim. After shamayim, he has aretz. But Esav, it's just the opposite. It's mishmanei haaretz yemoshevecha. You are going to be the physical brother. Umeital hashamayim me'al, and only then will you receive dew of heaven. But there's a second and even more important difference. Because the Torah tells us when it comes to Yitzchak bestowing the bracha on Yaakov in the beginning of the parsha, what does it say? Vayite lacha Elokim mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz. Yaakov is going to receive it from where? Elokim. Esav is mishmanei haaretz yemoshevecha. Esav is going to pick up the bracha and the bounty, the physicality from who? From Yaakov. Yaakov is the direct recipient of Olam Hazeh from God. Vayite lacha Elokim mital hashamayim umishmanei haaretz. Esav, however, is going to only receive shmanei haaretz and mital hashamayim subservient, subordinate to Yaakov. Yaakov receives direct mon min hashamayim. Esav has to receive the bounty, the abundance, the tal hashamayim nishmane haaretz from Yaakov. Thus Rivka understands that I want my dear son Yaakov to be the recipient of Olam Hazeh directly from Hashem. And then Esav will receive it from Yaakov. Rivka understood that that's the only way it could work. Now Yitzchak tells his son Esav, let me explain to you what happened. I all along intended that you should be the recipient of Ayitin Lecha Elokim Mital HaShamayim Mishmana HaAretz. I always wanted you, Esav, that you should be the recipient of Olam Hazeh directly from heaven. But my wife Rivka had a different idea. And as a result, you're not going to receive directly Vayitin Lecha Elokim Mital HaShamayim Mishmana HaAretz. Rather, you're only going to be the recipient of the brachos from Yaakov and not directly from heaven. This approach of the Sforna, the Beis Halevi, and the Netziv, the Chassam Sofer, is the classical approach to explain the attitudes of Yitzchak and Rivka and where Yaakov fell in. They all understand and see in the psukim and in the attitudes of Yitzchak and Rivka two different totalities and two different attitudes and two different positions in terms of where Yaakov and Esav were headed. Yitzchak understood that there could be this camaraderie, this brotherhood, this union and this fusion of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The two brothers could work together. Esav and Yaakov could be twins who could work together. Each of them have success in two different areas, but they could help and complement each other. The spiritual brother Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Olami would be supported by his brother Mital HaShamayim Mishman HaAretz. Yaakov the Ishtam Yoshev Olam would inspire and help his brother Esav grow, and he would make sure that Esav would be tame. Esav would go hunting and trapping and would pick up food for Yaakov. Yaakov would be able to sit and to learn, and Yaakov would inspire his brother to be able to work together, and there'd be generations and generations of Yaakovs and Esavs. But Rivka understood that that wasn't feasible and that wasn't possible. That it can't be that Esav is going to be the recipient directly of Hashem, of Ayitin Lecha Elokim, Mital HaShamayim Mishman HaAretz. Yaakov needs to receive Olam Hazeh directly from Hashem. And only then, Mishman HaAretz Yemoshevecha Mital HaShamayim Me'al, only then can Esav be the recipient of Olam Hazeh. Because Yaakov needs to be in control of Olam Hazeh as well. And that's the only way that it could work. And thus, the explanation of the two brachos, the distinction, the dichotomy, the categorical difference of the two brachos. The bracha that Esav was to receive from Yaakov was the bracha of Olam Hazeh. The bracha of spirituality of Eretz Yisrael, of the Birchas Avram, was the bracha intended by Yitzchak for Yaakov, which of course he received. But the point of the contention, the nekudas hamachlokas, really, really, between Rivka and Yitzchak came down to who is going to receive Olam Hazeh. Is it Esav or is it Yaakov? Yitzchak understood that it also belonged only to Esav as the physical brother, and Rivka understood that that's an impossibility, it can't work, it needs to go dafka only to Yaakov. This, as I said, is the presentation of the Sforna, which Revolbi calls the Mafteach, the key to understanding Parshas Toldos. But before we conclude, allow me to express that this approach of the Sforno is not the approach of the Ramban, Nachmanides. The Ramban understands the Pashut Pshat, the simple way to understand Parshas Toldos, is not like the Sforno, not like the Beis Halevi, not like the Netziv, not like the Malbim. It's the simple understanding that Yitzchak always intended to give the brachos to Esav. And the brachos of Ayitin Lecha Elokim Mital HaShamayim Mishmanei Aretz V'Rov Dagon V'Tirosh, says the Ramban, based upon the Medrash, were not physical brothers brachos, but rather those are spiritual brachos. Rov Dagon V'Tirosh, says the Medrash, is referring to Gemara and Agada. Mital HaShamayim Mishmanei Aretz is referring to Mikra and to Mishnah. He, Yitzchak, wanted Esav to be the recipient of the spiritual brachos. He understood that as the eldest, as the oldest, and as the firstborn, he was entitled to the rights of the bracha of spirituality, not like the Sforno. But the Ramban understands that the simple explanation of the Psukim seems to lead us to understand that Yitzchak always wanted Esav to receive all of the brachos. It wasn't that there was this split brachos, that Yitzchak understood that Esav was going to receive Olam Hazeh and Yaakov was going to receive the brachos of Ruchnias. No, says the Ramban.
The Pashat simple Kriyas HaPsukim, the intention of Yitzchak, was that Esav should always receive the spiritual brachos. And that's Vayitan Chalokim Mital HaShemayim Mishman Eretz Rav Dog and Matirsh. Those aren't physical brachos, says the Rabban. Those are spiritual brachos. It's Mikra and Mishnah. It's Gemara and Agada. It's referring to spirituality. That's what Esav deserves. That's what Esav should get. He's the oldest, and he's the recipient of those brachos, and he deserves those brachos. But slowly but surely, as Yitzchak began to realize what had occurred and saw what his wife Rivka had done and understood that his son Yaakov went along with the plan and that Rivka was the recipient of Ruach HaKodesh and that Rivka was right, he had to concretize the bracha that he gave to Yaakov. And that's the bracha in the beginning of Perek Chaf Ches of Parshas Toldos, that he's the recipient of Birchas Avram. There should be no stones unturned. It should not be confusing. And Lidoros, and for eternity, everybody should know that it's not Esav. Ultimately, Yitzchak is corrected. Although he wanted to give the brachos of Ruchnius, of spirituality to Esav, the fact that Rivka and Yaakov's plan worked made Yitzchak realize that really Yaakov is the one who's intended to be the heir of Avram and the heir of him, Yitzchak. And that's why the beginning of Perek Chaf Ches, he becomes the recipient of Birchas Avram. He's the recipient of Eretz Yisrael. He's the recipient of the brachos of Ruchnius, says the Ramban, in a different approach, in a different way to understand Parshas Toldos. Thus, we have a very, very basic machlokas rishonim. Two different approaches, two different mahalchim in terms of how to understand the brachos that Yaakov receives. Was it the fact that it was always, always intended for Yaakov to be the heir of the spiritual brachos and that Esav was to be the heir of the physical brachos and they would work in tandem, they would work in kind? The approach of the Sforno, the approach of the Beis Halevi, of course, Rivka was correct, and Rivka made sure that Yaakov would be the recipients of both. Or the approach of the Ramban, who explains and who expresses very clearly that the attitude of Yitzchak was that Esav really is the recipient of the brachos of Ruchnius as well. And ultimately, because Rivka saw to it that Yaakov would receive those brachos, Yitzchak has to concretize the bracha that he gives to Yaakov at the end of the parsha, being the recipient of Birchas Avram. Of course, Parshas Toldos really sets the stage, really for Jewish history and world history forever. The battle, embryonic battle, between Esav and Yaakov, which we see develop in their childhood, through their adolescence, through their young adulthood, till they're grown men, as this will continue through Toldos and Vayetze and Vayishlach, the strong tension and the pulling of two ends of a rope that we see with Yaakov and Esav constantly battling and fighting. It's not just a physical fight, but it's a spiritual, emotional argument that they have. It's a battle of Yerushalayim and Rome. It's a battle of Yisrael and the Amim. Yaakov and Esav represent two different attitudes, two different philosophies, two different approaches, two different worldviews. And this is always what Yaakov and Esav are battling. Ultimately, in Parshas Vayishlach, when the two brothers separate, Al Har Seir, Yaakov sends Esav to Har Seir, and Yaakov travels in a different direction. But we all know, we understand that one day Yaakov and Esav will meet again. We are Yisrael, the nations are Esav. And there's going to be a battle, there's going to be a fight, and it's going to be very clear. As we say, Va'olu Moshim Bahar Tzion Lishpotes Har Esav, V'haysal Hashem Amlucha V'yashem L'melech Al Kol Aretz B'yamahu Yashem Echad U'shmo Echad. Even though throughout Sefer Bereishis and throughout Jewish history, we have seen the Esavs of the world appear in the world of Rome, in the world of Edom, in the world of Yishmael, in the world of all of the Dalit Golios, until today contemporarily, as the battle continues. But ultimately, the recipient of those brachos are Yaakov, and it's for that reason that we're always chastised. It's the reason for anti-Semitism. It's the reason that we're always dragged down to the ground and beaten. Because Yaakov ultimately receives those brachos, the brach of Olam Hazeh and the brach of Olam Haba. Rivka's wisdom allowed Yaakov to be thus the recipient of these brachos. And it's for this reason that forever and forever, until Yemos HaMashiach, Esav will always run after us. Even though we push Esav aside, we push Esav aside in Europe, we push Esav aside in Eretz Yisrael, we push Esav aside in America. We always try to divide and to separate. At the end of the day, they're always after us. Halachahi. Esav sone li Yaakov. There's nothing that we can do. and the recipient, Yaakov, of these brachos and the Bechora, which we read about in Parshas Toldos, sets the stage for Jewish history and world history forever. And the hatred that Esav has for Yaakov, as we see at the end of Parshas Toldos, as he tzaka gedola mara and chases after Yaakov throughout Vayetze and Vayishlach. This chase and this race and this real run after Yaakov is something that we still feel today. Starting in Parshas Toldos, taking us throughout Sefer Bereishis, the Shmos, the Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, throughout the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. Here we are today, as Parshas Toldos really is the beginning of everything that takes place on the world stage. Bezos Hashem, we should be zocha to the ultimate days when we see V'olu Moshe Meratzion, Lishpot Esar Esav, V'haisa Hashem Emlucha, wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.